For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Moving right along on your week here on 610 Sports Radio. Good morning. The boys are back.
It's already Tuesday, brother. How about that, huh?
You know Bob's excited.
I like Tuesdays. I like this Tuesday even better.
Kids,
it's back
to school.
Today's the day. Yay!
You made it. You're more excited for today than football season.
Oh, my God. Once you become a parent, Dustman, as we were talking about yesterday, the day that the children go back to school is the single greatest day on the calendar year. It is greater than anything you will ever experience. Hip, hip, hooray!
Never going to be a dad. Vasectomy at 18. What do you want for your 18th birthday, Dusty? Want to cut it all off?
No.
One of me is enough on this world. I think we can all agree to that.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, just kidding. I plan on being a dad someday. Don't know when, but I'm sure it'll happen.
Someday.
Now, that's great. I was watching the news last night, like I always do. Old man status
over
here.
You really are. My God.
I love it. You come in here in the studios and I was like, Dusty, you can watch that when you get home.
Watch it at your leisure. It's like a worm boring a hole in my head. That's the news for me.
Dusty's Nights, 6 o'clock news, 6:30 Wheel of Fortune, 7 o'clock Royals, 9 o'clock bed. Well, as of last night, 8 o'clock bed.
You can go to bed a little bit earlier last night. Were they talking about back to school on the news last night?
Actually,
the kids are going back to school. Here's what they're going to need. Pencils and rulers.
Actually, to be fair, they were talking about bus stop weather.
Oh, the bus stop weather. Yes. Hot. Yes.
Going to
be warm.
It's going to rain on the kids' first day of school.
Uh-oh.
Look out for the rain.
Better bring the umbrella. The kids are going back to school now. Single greatest day of the year. I'm so excited. Can't wait. So excited. So fired up for them to go back to school today.
Loves his kids.
Loving to death.
Loves their education more.
That's right. Got to value the education. I'm the son of a teacher. My wife's a teacher. Yep. So, you know.
So she's going to have a glass of vino tonight.
No, she'll be all right tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, she's excited. First... Like, no, she's good, man.
Okay.
Like, she's good going back to school now. Now that she's in the elementary school and teaching the young kids that are, impressionable, I guess you could say. It's going well. She was teaching at Horizons for a very long time over here. And she had a big impact on those kids as well. But I think she likes it a little bit better now that she's with the little kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're innocent, you know?
Yeah. I just figured, because I've dated a teacher before, and I just remember...
Were you hot for teacher?
I mean, I was in high school.
Yeah.
Shout out Spanish class, senior year.
Yep. Miss Clark.
Nope.
Miss Ambrosio.
Nope. Her name was Miss Buchanan.
There it is. So you knew who it was.
Of course. Dude, I was in love for like...
Mac?
You never have a teacher?
No.
Where you're like, I'll go to detention.
Really?
I was a Spanish teacher in high school, but it wasn't me.
There you go. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I would just come into class first day and just cuss. And she'd be like, you're staying 10 minutes after class. I'm like,
yes, I am.
I will definitely do that.
Yes, I am.
If you're tardy one more time, you're going to have to come in early and help me clean the room.
Mm-hmm.
You're late again today.
Yeah.
Man, you're just really addicted to trouble. Speaking of addicted to trouble, another opportunity blown last night.
Yeah. Really?
It was one of those games that the way it started off, everything, you were putting your feet on the ottoman. Bobby Witt Jr. hits a laser to left field.
Lasers.
Brady Singer strikes out the side in the first inning, and we're all sitting there going, brioche of a start.
We were all feeling as good as that dude who caught the Brady Singer home run, right?
Like Bobby
that
went
guy
over.
Or the Bobby,
yeah.
The Bobby
there was
home
a couple
run.
Guys that caught Singer home runs.
Yeah, a couple guys that caught Singer. Yeah, that's absolutely.
One guy didn't because it's still in the air.
The thing is still flying. It hit the ball of America.
Yeah, the one that Royce hit is that might be in one of the thousand lakes. I don't know which one, but it's in one of them.
Was that the one where Ryan goes and now there's six on the board?
Yes, because as soon as Royce hit that ball, he looked up and he's like, I feel bad when I just did it. That thing.
I mean, he murdered the hell out of that ball. Ugh. But that guy who caught the Bobby Witt home run.
That's what it's all about.
I've never seen somebody have so much fun and excitement in their life like that guy had in that moment. It kind of reminded me of like when you're telling your boys you finally sealed the deal, right? You finally sealed the deal. You're down there. You're high five. Yeah, baby, let's go. Like, and that guy was so fired up. I'm like, that's sports right there, man. That guy drove to Minnesota, took a couple of days off, went to the game up there. He's got some outfield seats, and boom, he gets that Bobby Witt laser right to him. I mean, that was the best moment maybe of the night for me, was seeing that guy's reaction.
And then he probably should have just gone home after that.
Probably should have, because it didn't get much better after that. That was the highlight.
Then they got absolutely obliterated in the second inning, and then Bobby Witt Jr. got hit in the tricep, and that kid just should probably just never have seen that. But let's just dissect what was last night, which was all about Brady Singer.
Yep.
Right? We talked about yesterday, you're taking in your three horses. You're putting in all your horsepower into this series. And again, I'll come back around and I'll try to give you something to think about to give you a little bit of positivity. But Brady blew up in the second.
Uh-huh.
And I have watched, if not every Brady Singer start, 90% of them. I'm a baseball nerd. I love the Royals. I'll watch every game that I possibly can. And I saw a glimpse of both Brady Singers. And what I mean by that is early on in Brady Singer's career, it would be going well, and then something would aggravate him. And if I can give it a sports analogy, it's like the guy that you've ever played golf with or a sporting event with, that when they do one thing wrong early, it ruins their entire round. So like you could play golf with a guy and on the hole one, he slices his tee shot out into the right side, throws his driver, rounds over. And it's like, there's no coming back from that.
Mm-hmm.
And when Brady Singer walked that guy in the second, kind of a little bit of a pout thing, kind of like gosh. And it was with two outs. And then it was base hit, home run, base hit, home run. And it's 6-2.
Yeah.
And you're at that point going, well, crap. This looks like the old Brady Singer. Whereas in the first inning, it was strikeout, walk or single. And then it was strikeout, struck out the side at three strikeouts. Look great. And now we saw both versions of that. And this is a game where you wanted to see somebody grow. You want to see Brady Singer take the rock and shove. And that didn't happen, even though he still had like 10 strikeouts and like 4 1/3 or whatever the hell the line was. Doesn't matter. He struck out a lot, gave up a lot. Royals lose to the Twins. Now a game and a half behind them, and now 5 games behind Cleveland. And
I was thinking about that this morning. Yeah. The 5 games behind Cleveland, like what you have to do to make up that ground. You essentially have to win 5 in a row. And they got to lose 5 in a row. That's hard to do. The math is starting to get a little bit, you know, crazy. But when you got those head-to-head games, that's where you have to make this stuff up. But Brady Singer, what we saw last night is exactly who Brady Singer is. You use the term like horses or whatever. I don't know if unicorn is the right term to use for Brady Singer, because they always kind of use that in a positive way. I'm using unicorn in a mythical way right now, okay? Because as we know, the unicorn isn't real. And I think what we're seeing out of Brady Singer at times isn't real. And it comes down to this. Brady Singer has had a great year against teams under 500. Brady Singer against the playoff teams, the teams that are above 500, that are challenging and that are, you know, good baseball teams. Brady Singer is not very good versus teams below 500. Brady Singer is a 5-1 record with a 2.05 ERA, taking care of the White Sox, taking care of the Tigers, taking care of, you know, what other bad teams in baseball are out there. Against the teams that are 500 and above, like we saw last night with the Minnesota Twins, Brady Singer's 3-7 with a 4.87 ERA. And that, to me, is what it all boils down to. Brady Singer does a really nice job against the lesser teams. And that's important, because the Royals are 19-4 against the White Sox and the Tigers. We wouldn't be having conversations on the Royals at this point in time if they weren't 19-4 against the Tigers and the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
But against the other teams, they're right around 500, 52-52 or whatever we kind of figured out this morning, really just quickly off the cuff. But Brady Singer is a microcosm of where this team is right now, Dusty, and that's they're really good, and they beat up on the teams that are lesser than them, which you have to do. But when you play the teams that are as good as you or better than you, you're still struggling to get over that hump. And that's where Brady Singer is right now. The stats bore out right there. 3-7 with a 4.87 against teams above 500. 5-1 with a 2.05 against teams below 500. So Brady Singer, not a big game pitcher.
So basically what you're saying is that he's Tua Tagovailoa of the baseball world.
It's a good comparison. Yeah, I think that's a really good comparison, right?
So I did some homework in about 10 seconds. Last year, Miami was 11-6. They start off the season, they win. They beat the Chargers in week one. They beat the New England Patriots in week two. They beat the Denver Broncos in week three.
Not exactly murderer's row right there, right?
Yeah, and then week three was when they won 70-20. They look amazing. They look like they're just blowing people out of the water. They were. They were. They didn't really beat the Chargers by that much. But then, first big test. Got to show them that you believe. Show them that you can do it.
Yeah.
48-20 loss at Buffalo.
Yeah, that's right. Biggest test of the year. You get your ass handed to you, right?
Then they play two more games. They play the Giants and the Panthers. Guess what?
Murderer's row right there again.
They win both those games, 31-16, 42-21.
Right.
Two is a good MVP candidate. Then they play the Philadelphia Eagles, lose. Then they play the New England Patriots, win. Then they play the Kansas City Chiefs, lose in Germany. Then they go on a tear against the Raiders, the Jets, and the Commanders. Win, scoring 20, 34, 45. They play Tennessee, a hiccup game. They lose by one, whatever. But then they play the Jets again. They win. They play the Cowboys again. They win. Then their last three games of the season, when it matters, when you got to win, when you got to show yourself, they play Baltimore. They lose 56-19. They play the Buffalo Bills again. They lose 21-14. And then they play the Chiefs in that cold weather game, and they lose 26-7.
Mm-hmm.
When Tua needed the ball, when it mattered, he couldn't get the job done. But when it was teams that he could beat up and he could win, it was a win, but it was a significant win.
Right.
You bring up those stat numbers against Brady Singer, and Bob, I'm afraid that we got a little bit of Tua Tagovailoa and Brady Singer because, man, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great to see you beat up on the White Sox. It's great to see you absolutely shove against Detroit. But when you need a game against Minnesota at the start of a series and they're giving you the rock to go set the tone and you have that sort of outcome, it's kind of one of those things where you have to put it in your mind where you think to yourself, okay, let's take the blue colored glasses off.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the Kansas City Royals hat off. Let's take the homegrown talent out and let's think to ourselves, in reality, can we trust this kid to go out against a team like Cleveland, a team like Minnesota, a team like Boston, and get it done? And right now, we haven't seen it. And then when they threw the stat last night up of Brady Singer and at Target Field.
Yeah, with a 9 ERA or whatever the hell it was on the screen. I'm like, whoa.
A bit rough.
And you know what? I'm stupid me. I'm sitting there going, eh, maybe they'll be different tonight, right? Maybe things will be different tonight for Brady Singer. And it wasn't. Cleveland is hitting .474 off of Brady Singer this season.
So, that ain't good.
That is not good. No. In the one game, he faced the Cleveland Guardians. They are hitting .474 off of him. So another good team that hits the ball well off of Brady Singer. And so you start to look at Brady Singer and you start to think to yourself, he's just not a big game pitcher. He is what he is right now. And he is kind of, I think, what the Royals are right now. You take care of business against the teams that are lesser than you, keep losing teams losing, and then figure out a way against some of these better teams to hopefully get it done and bounce yourself into the playoffs. But yesterday's over. Today's a new day. You've got to go out there now, and you have to start thinking about, if we don't win tonight, then we're going to lose 2 out of 3 in Minnesota. So you've got to get this game tonight for the psyche, I think, of everybody. And I think for the psyche of the ball club, for the psyche of the fan base, because if these games continue to get away, less and less people are going to continue to be interested in what's going on. And we are really going to be talking about Luis Ramirez Zemet or whatever that guy's name is who returns kicks, you know, for the Chiefs down there in the landing zone. Yeah. So this was an opportunity last night, an opportunity that went by the wayside. But quite honestly, when you start to look at the evidence and the numbers, I'm not really surprised that Brady Singer didn't pitch well last night.
But to wrap this topic up and to give you a little bit of a glass full mentality, because that's what I try to do here, that's where the crown jewel nickname came from, is there's 42 games left.
Mm-hmm.
You're still the third place wild card game with a 2-game lead. You have 2 more games against Minnesota, and you're putting in the next 2 horses of your staff. You have Lugo tonight. You have Reagans tomorrow.
Yeah, go get wins.
They're gonna have a call up of a prospect pitch. I believe tonight or tomorrow.
Is that guy Denny's kid is pitching tonight? Denny's grandson is pitching tonight.
He's got a great slider, Bob. And the thing about that is, now's your opportunity to take a short memory and go into this game and just get it done with a Cy Young candidate in Seth Lugo and just go out there and take care of business, because 42 games left, 2 more against Minnesota in this series. Reagans and Lugo, go out there and get the job done, and then we forget about this Brady Singer start until he plays against the Yankees or the Phillies.
Yeah, right, exactly. and those are coming up, or the Guardians. But, you know, but Lugo tonight, man, this is if you're going to be the stopper, if you're going to be the ace of the staff, these are the games that you have to go out there and end the bleeding and end the losing, if you will. You've got to find a way to pitch your ass off tonight and to get your team a victory. It's all going to be about the pitching. And against the the Minnesota Twins this year.
Yeah.
Lugo is 1-0 on the season with a 0.75 ERA. So he shoved.
That's right.
The last time he pitched against the Minnesota.
So if you want to make a two-leg parlay tonight, take Lugo as the winning pitcher and take Salvador Perez to hit a crank, because Vern told us to do that yesterday. Coming up on the other side, Bob read some text, which is interesting, but he likes to do that with the fan reaction.
So good after a loss.
We want to open the text line early. What fan are you currently of this Royals squad of this season? 913-586-7610. That's Mac. That's Bob. I'm Dusty. This is Fesco and Dusty in the morning. I think that's what we're calling it. 610 Sports Radio.
Breaking ball ripped deep to left field. Larnick turns around, looks up, it's gone! Into the third row of bleachers. Bobby Witt Jr. continues his tear. It's a first inning homer. And two batters into the game, the Royals lead the Twins 1-0.
And you thought it was going to be a laugher.
And that's it.
I sent you all the game over text when it was 2-0, baby.
And then I said, good night, Bob. And that was at, 7 o'clock? And then I said, nice text. He said, well, I didn't say a team.
Yeah, I didn't tell you who the game was over for.
Fair enough.
Called it early for the Twins, I guess, last night.
Not wrong.
Yeah. But I just want to go back to something you said real quick about Brady Singer. You mentioned how, you know, he lost his mind basically after he got the two outs and, you know, gave up the walk and couldn't figure it back out. If you're going to be a Major League Baseball pitcher, you got to figure that out, man. You can't let that affect the rest of the inning. You got two outs. Go get the final guy out and get out of the inning.
Did you see the mannerisms?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's not effective. That's not an effective way to be a professional athlete. You've got to compartmentalize that. So you walked a guy. Big deal. The next guy's up. You still got plenty of opportunity to get these folks out, and he wasn't able to recover from that, and that's very concerning to me.
Because in that, I mean, there was a pivotal swing on both sides because the Royals had the momentum. They were going well. It was 2-0. It's on the road. It's early. And then it was 6-2, and Pablo just settled in. It was like, all right, shoot.
And Pablo did settle in big time, which prompted a text yesterday to the Vern postgame show. This is probably my favorite text of the year from Vern's postgame show. This is a good one, okay? This comes from the 913.
All the way to game 120.
Well, text of the year. When they lose, the texts are always better, right? They're always better texts than when they win.
You like a burning house than one with a white picket fence.
Of course, everybody does, right? Like, you like to walk by and look at the carnage, right?
Look at that high fire.
You come in after a win, and everybody says they're winning the World Series. You come in after a loss, and the text line is basically saying contract the team and move them to Nashville, right? It's really like doom and gloom. But this one really got me today. It's from the 913. Pablo, who was the pitcher last night for the Minnesota Twins, Pablo saying, they made me work makes me so happy as a Royals fan to hear. Those type of at-bats will grind us to a blue October. Sloan. What?
Sloan, like from Entourage?
I was hoping Sloan from maybe Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but Sloan from Entourage is another good Sloan. Have you ever met an ugly Sloan, right? No, right? No. Bueller? Anybody? So I look at that and I'm like, God, I want to be in that world. The Royals just got their teeth kicked in. They lost 8-3 to a team ahead of them in the standings. Brady Singer was a disaster on the mound last night. And this person's feeling good because Pablo said those guys made him work last night and had put good at-bats against him. I'm like, you're after an 8-3 loss in a very meaningful game. That's making you feel good. I want to be in that world. I really do. Right. That's a good world in which to live.
And I want to bring up a question, but first I want to remind you what Vern said yesterday, if you're thinking doom and gloom after Minnesota's loss.
Okay. I'm solely focused on the division. Because to me, the past month has been strange. Some of the sentiment I'm hearing from Royals fans, come on. Yeah, you beat up on the White Sox and the Tigers, but do you know your record against everyone else? Who cares? You're in the American League Central. You know, it's not the Royals' fault that the Yankees and the Astros don't have 13 cracks at the White Sox. The Cleveland Guardians, they have 13 chances, and they're 5-5 against Chicago so far. The Royals have dominated Chicago. They've won the season series from Detroit. They've taken 4 of 6 from Cleveland, and they have a chance to even up the season series with Minnesota beginning tonight. We praise, understandably, Andy Reid for his domination of the AFC West, consistently winning that division. That is the goal. That's how you guarantee some home games at Kauffman Stadium this It's a joke to me how often I'm hearing people go, all right, third wild card. The Royals hanging on to the third wild card by a game. And the third wild card is nothing.
You don't get a home game, right?
And Bob, 40-plus games, and we're talking about the final spot in the American League playoffs, man, that can be gone in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Cleveland is with it. Shoot, the best record in the American League isn't that far out of reach. So I'm not going – if we don't talk about the wild card on the other side of the parking lot, I'm not doing it here.
So that brings up the question that I have for you in the text line and for you two in the studio today. 913-586-7610. Out of the three sort of fans that I can get the kind of the grip on, mm-hmm. are you at this point in the season, it's over, they can't beat the good teams, they only beat the bad teams, whatever, get me to Luis Rees-Sammet on Saturday afternoon and see him do a kick return. That's fan number one. Fan number two, the question I bring up is, there's still hope. There's 42 games left. Bob, Dusty, Mac, pump the brakes. We got time. There's two more against Minnesota. We can still win the series. You guys are overreacting. Or are you this fan? That is, you know what? I don't care what happens. We're playing competitive baseball. It's August 13th. We didn't see this coming. It's going to go right into football season, and we can all just relax because we had a winning season after only winning 56 games last year.
Yeah, that's where I am. And that's where I am right now. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, I will think the season didn't end the right way, right? I still think it needs to end in the postseason. But I'm also still enjoying this ride because nobody thought we'd be in this position to be talking, you know, Royals baseball on August 13th. Like, nobody thought we would be here. I thought they'd be better. And we've said that. We've gone over that for months now. But in a playoff race, no, I didn't think we'd be here. I'm enjoying this right now. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have the best player in baseball. It's nice to have a competitive team. It's nice to know that when you go into a game every single night, you feel good about your team winning, right? Mm-hmm. Are you going into those games feeling good about your team winning just about every night, right?
You will tonight. Yeah,
right. I think that's the case, right? Mm-hmm. When was the last time we were really able to do that? Yeah. 2015. So this has been fun. This has been great.
Watching last year.
No, I didn't watch games last year.
You were watching Wheel of Fortune at 6:30.
I was watching anything but Royals baseball last year. And I think that's where most of us were. And that's fine. They lost 106 games. You move on and you do other things. It doesn't make you any less of a fan or any more of a fan because you were watching last year. You were wasting your time. Mm. But this year, they're giving you an opportunity to watch. They're giving you a reason to watch. And they're giving you that belief that they can win every night. And so I'm just enjoying the ride. Sometimes we do forget to enjoy the ride. And I've cautioned people that for a very long time, basically back to the Royals in 14 and 15, enjoy this time. Don't start thinking about what could have been or what they didn't do or how it's not going. And especially during the Chiefs thing, I hope everybody's enjoying the Chiefs ride and not worried about who the third running back is going to be, right? Mm-hmm. Enjoy this ride and enjoy what's going on because like a blink of an eye, it's gone, right? So I'm enjoying this ride, man. I think it's been a lot of fun. We've seen this team emerge. We know what they need in the offseason. And I hope JJ operates just like we see Brett Veach operate in the offseason, where you know that part of your team stinks. You go out there and you upgrade that part of your team. And I would expect basically an entire bullpen overhaul this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's easy to get greedy, right? I mean, 6 months ago, we would have been begging for this. And now here we are. And we just want more. You know, 6 years ago, we would have been begging to be in the playoffs to be relevant in football. And now here we are, three Super Bowls later, on track for maybe a three-peat. And yeah, who's the third running back, though? You know, do we really have enough wide receiver? It's just easy to get greedy.
I totally forgot about Clyde Edwards-Helaire the other day, good. Right? I'm like, it's a good player. I totally forgot about him, right?
It's easy to get greedy. So I'm excited, man. This is good.
I don't want to hear about Hunter Renfrow, the football player. I want to hear about Hunter Renfrow, the baseball player. I like Kyle Isbell. What is he, like 9 for his last 11?
Guys raking. Look, that opposite field double that he had yesterday was beautiful, mm-hmm. too. I love opposite field hits. They call them Oppo Knocks.
Or Oppo Tacos.
They could do that as well.
Which it is Taco Tuesday.
It's the only day you can eat tacos, too. If you get them on Wednesday, you get arrested.
Ooh, not good. Like a challenge, though. Nah. Put me in a taco and handcuffs and call that a Wednesday, baby. But I am the fan that says it ain't over. I'm on the edge of my seat every night, boys.
Absolutely, you are.
We're winning this damn division. I don't care what anybody says. The ship is still sailing. It has not sank. I'm still driving. You can still be on the deck. It ain't over, man. I'm not here to just be like, oh, it's been fun. And I'm not making fun of you guys. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, I still see what is ahead of us. I see 42 games. I see Lugo and Reagan's going against Minnesota tonight. I see a victory. I see a Salvador Perez home run. And I see seven strong innings from Lugo, and I see us having a different sort of conversation
tomorrow.
Who's
going to be the pitcher, though, that steps it up and becomes that third guy down the stretch against the good teams? Because it's not Brady Singer. Is it going to be Waka? Is it going to be Lorenzen?
I think we're going to see the veteran leadership in Waka, where I don't think it's going to be like blow you away, like, oh, he went
seven
innings.
But you got to just be steady.
But he's going to hold. He's going to hold. And then we're going to see Marsh come back. We're going to see a different sort of a version of him. But look, I'm a glass half full guy. But again, baseball coverage here on 610 Sports Radio is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Guys, it's been a fun baseball season, but we might have one of the best falls of my lifetime and maybe your lifetime. Three different decades, so it's hard to judge that. This is Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens and Mac Morey on 610 Sports Radio. The old Schrute flute here.
I've been watching old episodes of The Office recently.
Yeah, did you start watching last night in the sixth inning?
Probably at the seventh. About the seventh inning. I kind of checked out of that one last night. But you know what? You're down 8-3. Got to move on. Got to find something else.
Where are you at in the show right now?
Oh, I don't know. It's just on randomly.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Just flipping it on Comedy Central.
Not season seven.
No. Once Michael Scott left, there was really no reason to watch that show.
Coming up at 6:40.
And I don't know that I did.
I never watched the final season.
You've never seen any of it after, Michael?
I watched one episode, season 7, episode 1, and I was completely annoyed with Andy Bernard because they changed his character.
They did?
And I was like, I'd rather not see it. It's like when you put your dog down.
Yeah.
You guys go do that. I'm going to remember the good times.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Gramps got dementia. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember him buying me a Tonka tractor when I was 7, not when he comes in there and he's like, who the hell are you?
That's
like,
exactly right. Man,
I'm good, dude.
I tell you, when my grandfather...
Call me a bad person, not going to check that out.
That was bad news. When my grandfather forgot who I was, man, that was rough. I was like, I don't know if I was 8, 10 years old, maybe 12. I don't even remember how old I was at that time, but it was brutal, man. Yeah. Like, he couldn't remember anybody, but he always remembered me, right?
Yeah.
And then the minute he forgot me, I was like, oh my God, this is awful. And, you know, so...
And I don't think you get shamed by the Lord on that either. We did have a couple pink skies.
What is going on outside today? Are we going to get a storm?
I think so. And that pink sky reminds me of Zach Bryan. So if anybody has a free ticket on the 20 or the 21st, please reach out.
You probably should call my wife on that one. You could take our daughter and go.
Okay. As long as they're free. Those are expensive tickets. I'm obsessed with that guy. I mean, obsessed. I think before I did this show, I would sit on my patio every night, throw down a sixer of Tall Boys and listen to back-to-back albums.
So they're going to call security on you and not let you go to the concert then?
Nah, I'm not a creep.
All right.
I just enjoy music.
What's his revival?
The Revival.
The Revival, yeah. That song looks fun live. That song looks great.
Yeah, that's the one where he pulls out a celebrity every once in a while and they sing it.
Who do you think he's going to pull out of the crowd here?
Well, he's got two nights and Camp will be over.
Yep.
Ooh. And I would love to hear Mahomes go out there and, you know, do the, you know, you can find me with a bottle of Beam. Put Johnny on the vinyl.
You think it'll be Mahomes?
It could be him. It'll probably be Kelsey.
Kelsey.
Because Kelsey likes to sing.
When is that concert? It's coming up at the end of the month.
The 21st. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know who you know, Bob, but I know you know a lot of people. Two tickets. I would love you forever. I don't know about that one.
I don't know if I can do that game or not.
I can get you, you know.
It's very hot.
Yeah, it is.
Very
no,
hot.
It definitely,
I mean, it's
no,
a hot
it is.
Ticket.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And
nobody
knew who this guy was 2 years ago.
Well, isn't that normally how it works, though? Like, you know who an artist is when they become big, you know, and then they have their 15 minutes and then you forget about them and then they're playing the casino in Topeka.
It's terrible.
My friend Ralph went and saw who'd you see in the Topeka ballroom at that casino? They're like Rush or something like that. He's like, look at this. There was like they left the trays from the buffet that was in there prior to the concert.
Yeah. Love it. Love it.
You go to the Topeka Casino ballroom and you're seeing like Rush or whoever the hell it may be. Like, that's when you know you've reached the heights of everything. How big are you as a band? We're playing the ballroom at a casino north of Topeka.
Ballroom blitz. How about this fall, fellas?
This fall is going to be lit, as the kids say.
Back to school Bob
is here
to tell you today. The college football rankings came out. We don't need to tell you about what the Royals are doing. You've been watching them all summer. We don't need to tell you who the Chiefs are. You know what they are. Missouri ranked number 11th. K-State ranked 18th. And Kansas ranked 22. easy, very simplistic. Those are three teams in the top 25.
Isn't that crazy? Like, all three local teams are legitimately in the top 25. Yep. All three teams legitimately have an opportunity to compete for the first ever college football playoff. And for the first time ever, all three local teams have a fan base with expectations going into the season of good things. Like, Kansas fans, for the most part, we would go into a season hoping you'd hit the over, right? And win three games on the season. And if you won four, oh my God, it was unbelievable. Now they've set the bar. They've got the expectation level there. I think people in Lawrence and Kansas fans are talking about, you know, college football playoff this year. They're having the same conversations in Manhattan. They're having the same conversations in Columbia. And for the first time ever, all three local teams are involved and in the conversation to be great this year, right? You've got the Royals going to the postseason, doing their postseason push right now. You've got the Chiefs getting ready to start a run for a three-peat and getting ready to watch Patrick Mahomes slaughter every offensive record we've ever seen. I believe that this is the greatest fall that we've ever experienced as sports fans here in Kansas City, because every team, and then you've got the current who's challenging to win their league as well. You've got every team that is playing right now, playing well, doing good things, and challenging for the postseason. And Dusty, we never had that. You'd enter the fall, you know, back in the day, it'd be like, K-State football is going to be great, and the Chiefs, maybe if things break their way, they can go 9-7, and the Royals, we're not talking about them because they just lost 18 straight to Oakland or whatever the case may be. We're entering fall with a new radio station, right? 96.5, Thursday. The Fan, Thursday, we start that, right?
Yep.
Okay. So we're not only entering the fall with a brand new FM radio station featuring all of us here. It's also featuring the Royals, the Chiefs, K-State, and Missouri. So we're going to have all these teams winning games, going to the postseason. I can't think of a better fall in the history of Kansas City to be a sports fan than what we're getting ready to enter into. And if you're not fired up about that and fired up about us being on FM beginning on Thursday morning, I hate to break it to you. Nothing's going to fire you up, because we're heading into a fall where every single team in the area is competing for the postseason. And that's wild, man.
Yeah, because when you saw the graphics yesterday, this is how you know it's unbiased. Like, three teams in the top 25. That's not me or Bob or Mac making up that list. That's the, you know, the college football like rankings. Then you look at the power rankings of the MLB. The Royals are 10th or 9th, wherever you look at it. And then you look at the power rankings of the NFL. The Chiefs are first. So, I mean, you think about fall, you might get excited for hoodies and crockpot meals and brisk air and no AC, windows open. And you can also be excited because you're going to have the Royals playoff push, the Chiefs, like you said, three-peat, and then Mizzou going for a college football playoff spot, the Kansas Jayhawks possibly going for that, and K-State as well going for that.
Yeah.
Big 12 is going to be fun. SEC is going to be
great.
It's
going to be wild, man. Like, I'm ready for college football, too.
I'm surprised Mac's still standing up.
I mean, all this stuff in Colorado that's coming out, that thing's going to be a dumpster fire.
Stop it. It's not.
There's a good chance of a meltdown.
Everything's fine.
There is a good chance that there is a big-time meltdown out there in Colorado. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm glad they're in the league this year. You know, they're back where they belong. Now we just get Nebraska back in the Big 12. And everything will be good. But I just think right now, Missouri may be the best team of the three, but they're going to have clearly the toughest road to get to the college football playoff just because they've got to go through the SEC. The Big 12 is going to beat up on each other, and it's an easier path to the playoff by being in the Big 12 than it is being in the SEC. So while Missouri may be the best team out there, they've got the hardest road, in my opinion, to try to get to the SEC. And then Florida's schedule came out yesterday, or, you know, people were talking about Florida's schedule. My God, Florida's got a murderer's row of who they have to play on their schedule as well. I mean, it's going to be a wild college football season. We're going to be talking about college football playoff every week. Like, Binkley right now is rolling around like a bear.
Yeah, he
that hibernation's just about over, Jay.
Better put those sweatpants away.
Yeah, he better put them back on.
What about your Buckeyes getting disrespected at number
Always
two?
Always getting disrespected, man. Always getting disrespected.
Right.
Well, I guess you got Georgia, you know, so they're pretty good.
They're all right.
I mean, is Stetson Bennett still playing for them? Or?
Oh, yeah, you just watched him play the other day.
Oh, that's right. He played
the
other
day. Threw four picks in a game-winning drive. Yeah. Classic Bennett form.
Texas being ranked number four is always great to me.
That's a classic
over-ranking. Everybody buys into the Longhorns, 6-5.
Heisman Trophy favorite.
Then you've got Alabama in the top five. That's going to be a very interesting one to watch because you lost Nick Saban. And I know Alabama people, they fancy themselves as this amazing college football program. program.
Blitz, Bama blitz.
And they have been over the years. But before Nick Saban got there, Alabama was a nondescript football program.
Garbage.
So if this DeBoer guy can figure it out and kind of keep this train running for Alabama, fine. They'll be really, really good. But, I mean, I'm excited, man. I really am excited for the start of this college football season. I got back into it last year because of Deion. And, like, once it ended in November, I'm like, I need more. Mm-hmm. I need more of these games. And so I've been waiting for college football since Thanksgiving time last year.
You know, they say in Alabama, they don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide.
That's right.
Blitz, Bama, blitz.
Roll Tide.
Fesco of the Morning brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. It is a Tuesday morning here on 610 Sports Radio. Only two more days of 610 Sports Radio. Don't forget, 96.5 The Fan launches Thursday at 5:58 a.m. with yours truly. Coming up, what also ends Thursday is camp. We get to the countdown of the season that continues as we are 3 weeks away from the opening night, which is Thursday, September 5th, here in Kansas City. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, 610 Sports Radio.
Having an all-night revival. Some call the women and some will steal the Bible. For the sake of my survival.
Sing it, boys.
Baptize me in a bottle of bean for Johnny on the vinyl.
You'd have a time of your life at this concert, Bob. I can guarantee you that. That gets you going right there, man. Tell you what, you talk about Binkley getting all
Binkley getting all excited about college football.
I get excited. I mean,
me and Big both, man. I'm excited.
Nah, he's a little bit different.
Is there some point this year where you, Binkley, and Drew Nixon are all hanging out in one room, and it's like you
Binkley's
sit
dream? He can't
feet.
Wait.
That should be. That's a new podcast. My two sons. And it's just Mac and Drew and Binkley, because you guys probably could be his sons.
You probably could. You are young enough.
There
yeah.
was a point where everybody thought I was Binkley's, like, son.
What?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, my.
Binkley's like, well, I did have a few runarounds back in college.
Yeah, he did. My wife went to college with him. I mean, she's told me stories about Binkley. He was an Adonis walking around Pittsburgh State.
Yeah. Somebody said, F you, Dusty. LMAO, Stenson Bennett is sufficient to our us dog fans.
That was a champion down there for them, right? They like Stenson Bennett.
Yeah, he won a title, and yeah. then he turned into Justin Timberlake really quick. In
yeah,
Dallas.
Real fast. Yeah, he gone.
He was
yeah.
celebrating really hard.
Yeah.
7 years in college, didn't graduate, I think.
Was that the guy who was, like, crawling around TCU or something like that?
He was around, yeah, yeah. by himself,
yeah.
drunk.
Yeah, 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 okay.
Yeah, yeah, they were like, who's this?
Yeah. I mean, Stetson Bennett who, sounds me? Like a guy from Texas, right?
Yeah. Stetson Bennett.
Yeah. Howdy, I'm Stetson Bennett.
Thursday's last day of camp. Thank God.
Yes. Let's get the season started, right?
Right.
It's our first rainy day here. First rainy day. Rainy days are good.
Okay. That's Drew Tranquil.
That's a big change of pace, though, right? Get the rain, get a little cool, get something different. You know, it's the grind of training camp. Baseball players go to spring training for 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Football players go to training camp for like 3 weeks.
In the middle of the heat.
In the middle of the heat,
although
right?
baseball players go in like the dry heat, but it's not really that bad
by
in
the
Arizona
time it gets warm in Arizona, they're yeah. on the golf course. They're yeah. playing golf. They're not even near the baseball field. They do all that stuff in the morning when it's cool, crisp, and a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. They get their workout in. They go play golf. Football players go up to training camp for 3 weeks, and they're ready for the season. Baseball players, for whatever reason, need eight weeks to get ready for the season.
Drew Tranquil gives me Barry Bonds vibes.
What do you mean by that?
It's our first rainy day here. First rainy day. Rainy days are good.
That doesn't sound like a guy that could pop you into the next week.
Yeah, he does sound a little like Bonds.
Yeah, yeah. And what I mean by that is, like, big rip dude, that voice.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds, you hear him talk, he's like, I just want McGuire's ring. You're
right.
Like, dude, your head is the size of a trash can. Why do you talk like that?
It's true. Yeah, no, he does sound a little bit like Barry Bonds.
It's our
yeah.
first rainy day here. First rainy day. Rainy days are
first
good.
First rainy day.
Yeah.
And you say that he talks like a weirdo, and then he knocks you into an oblivion. Oh, well, let's get into the countdown. We're only a short 3 weeks away from the opening night in Kansas City. So with 3 weeks away, we have our countdown today, 913-586-7610. What are your three biggest Chiefs playoff victories in your mind? Now, again,
are we doing wins? Because one of my favorite games is actually not a win, and I'll tell you why in a second. But
three biggest playoff wins, excluding the Super Bowls, because everybody would just be like, oh, Super Bowl Niners, Super Bowl Eagles, Super Bowl Niners. Can't say Super Bowl. Your top three favorite wins. You can get to your favorite game afterwards.
Yeah.
But top three favorite playoff wins between you two, decide who goes first.
All right, Mac, you go for it.
That was quick.
and then after, I want to hear favorite Super Bowls, too, because I am curious of which of the three is your favorite so far.
Oh, Philly.
Really? Okay, there you go. Yeah. Three playoff wins.
I'm Why did the music save? Stop?
Oh, there, oh, there it goes.
This is going great.
This is fantastic.
Give me Titans AFC Championship game. I was there. Lived in Nashville for 10 years. The whole row behind me was clients of my dad's that were all in Titans gear wearing crowns for King Henry. Loved laughing in their faces after the second half began, or really after the last play of the first half when Mahomes ended their hopes and dreams. The Bengals rematch in the AFC Championship game felt really good to get that win. We needed that. We need that monkey off our back. That's our only rival in this run. That's our only true rivalry. I mean, Patriots, they just weren't here long enough. We lost to them once. We never really got that vengeance. Tom Brady left. Didn't really happen. And then the 13 seconds game gets lost in history. I know what happened the next week. I'm aware. But for a split second, that was one of the best playoff games of all time. I remember screaming and cursing out Tony Romo because he said the game was over. I knew it wasn't over.
No, it wasn't over.
It wasn't over. It's never over.
F you, Tony Romo.
I can't stand him.
So, Mike's hard lemonade.
Look out, Jim. Here comes Patrick. What a great game, Jim. What a great game. You know, just the Bills were better today. I was like, no, they weren't.
No, they didn't win. They weren't better. It's pretty simple.
Seconds. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my three.
Those are your three. All right. Top three, I guess, wins. But one of my favorite games is, we'll get to it after the wins, the Bengals win. The revenge game against the Bengals, I think, is my favorite one, because you shut up the mayor, the Burrowhead stuff, all that nonsense. Like, you punch those dudes right in the face, right?
You jabroni?
Yeah, so we got the Bengals win out of the way. That one was really good. The Houston game, down 24-0, is still one of the more remarkable comebacks anybody's ever did see. I mean, that was... That was just like watching poetry in motion. And the way that it happened, too, it just happened so fast. Like, there was nothing Houston could do about it. When they settled for the field goal to make it 24-0, I said to somebody that day, it's over right now. The Chiefs are coming back. You got to go and score that touchdown. But it's Patrick Mahomes. It's what he does. And then finally, the Buffalo game this past year in Buffalo, just ending all of the talk that only the Chiefs can win at home. They never had to go on the road. Their first road test, they went to Buffalo, and they slobber-knockered the Bills and put them back into Orchard Park. And so those are my three favorite wins when it comes to the playoff run for the Chiefs.
Nice. Where I start is where it all started, the Colts game where they beat Andrew Luck, and then Patrick Mahomes won a playoff game in Arrowhead Stadium for the first time in 30 years. That was the start of the run. Mm-hmm. And then Andrew Luck was like, okay, I don't want to have to deal with that for the next 10 years. I'm out. But that's important to me because that started the whole thing. That was like the monkey off the back, the weight off the shoulders, cliche you want to call it. That's where it was like, okay, this team can win in the playoffs. Let's keep going. The next one is the Chad Henne game against Jacksonville. The drive from the 2-yard
line.
That
was great, yeah.
Everybody had the meme of the old dusty playbook, and it had Alex Smith playbook on it, and you're like, this solidifies that Andy Reid is legitimately one of the best, if not the best, coaches in the world because of what he was able to do, go from superstar, like, quarterback and Patrick Mahomes. Not a shot at Chad Henne, but I think he'd tell you the same thing. Like, I ain't no Mahomes.
That's right.
But I was able to do this sort of thing. And then the last one to me was you finally got Tyreek Hill in your stadium in one of the coldest games ever, and they absolutely beat him to a pulp, and they beat the Miami Dolphins in the playoffs last year, the 7th-ranked Miami Dolphins, according to The Ring. Mm-hmm. So those are my three. The Colts win against Andrew Luck because you had always lost to the Colts in the playoffs. You beat the Colts. You knocked their quarterback out of the NFL, and then the Colts finally became the team that were, you know, less superior to you. You had the Chad Henne game, which was just one of those where I think a lot of people were like, crap, this is not going to happen. Ended up doing it for you, and then again, you got to beat Tyreek Hill. So a lot of revenge in mind, a lot of revenge, and a lot of, you know, surprise. Because I grew up my whole life seeing the Colts beat us in the playoffs.
That was terrible. Yeah,
I didn't care if it was Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck or whoever, Jim Harbaugh playing quarterback for the Colts. I just wanted the Chiefs to beat the Colts in Kansas City, and they finally did it.
And they did.
That's why it felt so good.
And they did. That was a fun one, man. That was a good week for us, too. We had the big rally at Rally House. We saged the stadium. Like, that was a lot of fun.
I do remember the Sage Day.
Yeah, the Sage Day was good. The rally at Rally House. I think people were, you know, three sheets to the wind by 9 o'clock. I mean, that was a blast out there in the parking lot at Rally House. But the Patriots loss to me still goes down as I think the most important playoff game that this team has played, because it changed the entire direction of the franchise. Leaving that game was not fun. Losing that game was not fun. But it was a spot we'd never been before, hosting an AFC championship game. You're like, okay, let me start to compartmentalize this and put it into a little bit of perspective. But what that game allowed the Chiefs to do is really truly recognize their faults and make those wholesale changes. And because of that loss, we got Steve Spagnuolo. We got Tyrann Mathieu in here. We got Frank Clark in here. And those three guys alone changed the image of what this defense was all about, right? We got rid of the Justin Houstons, the Eric Berrys, the Bob Suttons of the world, and we brought in younger guys, fresher guys, hungrier guys, and a defensive coordinator who's calling was stopping Tom Brady, in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. And Steve Spagnuolo came in here and changed the dynamic of this defense. And sometimes losses, you can take good things away from them if you utilize them the right way. And the Chiefs have shown since that loss that if they do lose in the postseason, they are going to address the biggest need. They are going to change what didn't work, and they are going to get better that offseason. And they've done that every year since. And I think that Patriot loss was kind of a look into the future of what this organization was going to be about. Because if they go on to the Super Bowl, how do you fire your defensive coordinator after the season, right?
That's so true. Still dealing with Bob Sutton's bags. In each of the
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Those three losses that the Chiefs have had, Bob, they've done something like that. Like you mentioned, getting Bob Sutton, figuring out the defense. You know, the second
Super Bowl was the offensive line.
Right? And then the Bengals kind of figure out too high. Patrick kind of take check downs and come a little smarter.
Yeah.
Every time they've benefited.
They have, yeah. So the losses have been good. They've utilized losses better than anybody. But, yeah, I still think, man, if we don't lose that game against the Patriots, Bob Sutton is probably the defensive coordinator the next year. And I don't know that we're having the same run of success if that's the case,
610 Sports Radio, KCSB, Kansas City.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.